Thanks to Trade Coffee for supporting the morning stream. It's a coffee subscription service unlike anything you've tried before. Top independent roasters send the best coffees direct to your home. Right now, Trade is offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order, plus free shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, pull the squirrel's nuts.
Having a liquid moment.
I don't like to clean my screen.
Dennis Miller doing Peter Griffin. Cha-cha.
Grandma's false bottom.
What happened to Quiznos?
Soylent Meat is fake people.
Finding the poo bag opening.
The whole cartoon was cringer.
Wasn't there a guy with a javelin named Javelin something?
The best kind of rip is rip torn.
Handsome, rugged Conrad, former Utah, now Colorado visiting dude, making a book hyperclimber guy.
Tiny anvils with Bill.
Flying blind with Bobby and more. On this episode of The Morning Stream.
If you tie the nut to a string, he grabs it. The more you pull, the harder he pulls. See how he bites off the shell to get at the nut? He knows how to get what he wants. A squirrel is a smart little animal. Don't you think so?
Nothing like a spooky dicky.
The Morning Stream. You have chosen poorly.
Good morning and welcome to TMS. It's Tuesday, August 23rd, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Good morning.
Hi. Yes. Hi.
You guys missed the whole pre-show where Brian described the super fan status that he has for Elvis Costello, and I wish you could have heard it. You know what you need to do? Just become a patron or show up for the live stream.
Become a patron, you'll get to hear it.
Yeah, then you'll get to hear all about it.
You'll get to hear me do Elvis Costello impersonates Adele.
Yep.
Hello from the other side.
You have to do that part at the end. Anyway, he's great.
Give me a song. You almost cast all the covers. Come on, name any song.
I can't think of any covers.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Yeah, that Toto classic. Add a little vibrato on there. Anyway, yeah, Brian's going to his concert tonight. So we talk
going
about
to the show
it.
Tonight. Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about it tomorrow, I'm sure.
Yeah, there'll be stories. Somebody will, you know, I don't know, do something weird with some pot, you know.
I'm sure.
You know.
No doubt. Yeah.
Because you're, you know, you're in the land of cocaine and pot, is my understanding.
Land of cocaine, pot, and fentanyl.
There you go.
We got it all here in Colorado. Take your pick.
So I'm going to tell you a story today that I think is pretty funny. Because okay. I'm a very fastidious dog walker in that I believe, especially because I live in an area that has like dog duty stops everywhere with like free bags and everything. Uh-huh. I'm a big proponent of pick up after your dog.
Sure. Well, any decent human being is. Fastidious or not, if you are a decent human being in our society here.
Yeah. We live in a society, therefore, pick up your dog poop. It's simple.
Correct.
It's not hard. I take bags with me because I have some I bought that I prefer. They just open easier. Otherwise, I look like a weirdo out there trying to open a bag for 4 hours and then realize I'm at the bottom and I got to go back to the other side. And
I hate that. Really? Hate it. I mean, only one bag manufacturer has figured out that you just have it printed with a little arrow that shows you where the top is. How come only one company has figured that out?
I don't know, especially with dog poop bags. For some reason, they're harder to open, the cheap stuff. But anyway, I do it every time I go anywhere. So I'm going around the lake, and it used to be there was nothing in there. The center of this lake, this island, was just dirt. But now it is full of multi-million dollar homes, beautiful, big, sprawling, monstrous houses. Really beautiful area. It's really nice. And you can still, it's still a public walk space. So you still walk around there. So I'm walking around there and I'm admiring these homes as usual and checking out the ducks and the geese and the whatnot and the whatever, making sure Mendoza is nowhere to be found and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Dog has to do what I call phase two Del Boca Vista, which is her second trip to the number two, you know, got to drop off additional kids at the pool. And, oftentimes,
and then once those kids are out, I got to poop.
Yeah. And oftentimes they are not, the phase two is not a, let's call it a solid affair. All right. Sometimes we're at the bottom of the barrel and we're sort of, you know, I don't know how else to put it. You guys understand.
Yeah. You know,
you understand. So this comes
out. Sometimes the cereal's crunchy. Sometimes it's soggy because it's been in the bowl for a while.
And sometimes it's full on liquid. That's what happened here. So Rainer proceeds to just have a liquid moment. All right.
Okay.
And it's diarrhea. Fine. It's fine. Diarrhea, right? That's what that's what comes out of her.
Diarrhea.
And so I go, oh, well, there's no picking that up. Because it's literally, it's
not
like,
without it, not without a shovel and like cutting the ground around it, like you're
nuke it from a tree. Orbit. Yeah, I can't. There's no other way to get it. So I'm right. Like, oh well, all right. I put the bag back in my pocket and we keep moving. Now this is on a public strip of grass that's not actually attached to this lady's yard, but a lady comes out of her what do you call it? Her rear thing. Back porch? No, deck is what I'm trying to say. The word deck is what I was aiming for. And she comes out and she goes, oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, no. Like that. And I go, excuse me? And she goes, you can't just have your dog poop and not pick it up. Don't you know the rules around here? And I said, oh, no, I'm fully aware of the rules. If you want to come take a closer look, though, this is, she did a liquid poopy, I says. I said to the lady.
Yeah, good. And she goes, I like that.
She goes, what? And I said, she has diarrhea, I says. And she goes, oh, well, just make sure that next time. And I'm like, she just kind of kept going on. And I just started walking.
Right, she wanted to like, well, but I came out here to yell at you. And you came up with a good response. But I still feel like I need to say something.
And you know what? I was perfectly prepared for her to just walk. I wanted her to come down there and check out the evidence. Come take a look. How would you get this off?
You could say, look, I've got bags for the solid stuff. There's nothing I can do about this unless you've got some police tape.
Right. And oh, by the way, I'm still carrying bag number one full of droppings number one because we hadn't gotten to a station yet. So I have proof that I do pick up. And then over here, I have a case where I can't do anything about it. And I've got her up there being as Karen-y as possible, just overlording over anybody. I'm like, I get that there's some people that don't. And you know what? Go ahead and yell at them. But you got to check first. Make sure it's not, you know, I have a reason.
Here's the thing. I feel like I would do the same thing. If I'm sitting in my front window or whatever and doing something, I happen to look out, I see someone walk by and their dog poops on the lawn and they start walking away. I probably would come out. I don't know if I'd be like, oh, wait a minute. I'd
hold
be like,
on.
Oh, hey, guys, do you need a bag or something? You know, I probably would do that.
Yeah. Even if she just said, you need a bag? If she just said that, I said, oh, it's, you know, she's got the runs. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. And then we would have had a better human-to-human experience.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
So when you come in swinging, assuming things, gosh dang it. It's like so
this
annoying.
This one is less Frappuccino, more caramel macchiato.
That's right. I don't know what else to tell you, lady. You want to come out here and give it the freaking, I don't know, check it for its pH balance? Like, what do you want? How much do you want out of me?
So what was her final, what was the final interaction?
It like, was just, was... okay, well, yeah, and her talking to me walking away. I didn't hear the end of it. I just kept walking. But now I know which house is hers. And she has a whole bunch of fish wind socks.
Hmm.
So this is like, and I, when I say a whole bunch, Brian,
what's a whole bunch? Give me an, I want a rough estimate. How many?
I should have got a picture because it's pretty funny. Her entire deck, which is very big and wraps around the house, every 6 inches is a different colored windsock that is a fish shape and color and like drawing of a fish on it. And it's like just, it goes all the way around. There's probably, I don't know, there's probably 100 fish windsocks.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, none of them are.
What is she, like a meteorologist? Like, who needs to know? Is she gonna be like Thor Heyerdahl and sail the Cone Tiki to the new world?
That's really a great
What's
question.
What's going on? What does she need to know?
I don't know. I have no idea. There's not even wind. It was kind of breezy, and the wind's not even making these socks move. So I don't know what the point is. It just made me realize,
I can't wait for the correction emails that we're going to get about whatever Thor Heyerdahl, whatever the name of Thor Heyerdahl's boat, if it was the.
It was
I thought it was the Kon-Tiki. I'm sure I'm wrong on
the,
that.
What? Kon-Tiki. Hey, Kasma, whoever in the chat thinks you're right.
I did get it right. Is that right? Thor Heyerdahl sailed the Kon-Tiki? Okay. All right. Yep. Thanks. Good.
Yep. There you go.
Whew.
Anyway, it was dumb. It was a dumb interaction. I regret all of it. And I hope I poop there again. Or I hope my dog does. I don't care if I do. I don't
know. Okay.
We got a Battle Cat email from somebody who wants to call Brian out a little bit. This is Mira Michi CD in the chat room. I don't know if he's there today.
Mira Michi CD, which I've replaced Mira Michi CD with streaming versions.
But. Yeah, you know, they're just, they take up so much room and they're a pain to rip, and I get it. I feel you. Anyway, he says this, dear Boystown and St. John, their communities in his area, he says.
Okay, all right.
Did I hear Mr. Cover Vileville? I'm going to do it the way it's written here. Did I hear Mr. Coverville with a space?
Yeah.
With some battle cat slander at the beginning of Monday's TMS? I cannot stand for this, so I will sit and wave my fist, not very seriously at all, Chris. Well, Chris... He did. He besmirched the good name of...
And you know, listen, Battle Cat was fine. It was Orko was the problem with that show. Orko was the snarf equivalent of that show.
Yeah, because Battle Cat was rarely in Battle Cat, or was rarely in Cringer form for very
Cringer.
Long. Cringer. Yeah, he was Cringer for a bit, but then always very quickly was Battle Cat. Whereas yeah. Orko is Orko 100% of his day.
24/7.
Yeah, and he's terrible. Yeah. Orko is an abomination. Yeah.
Did Prince Adam give Cringer the name Cringer, or did when he picked him up
From the rescue, from the
Dumb Friends League, his name was already Cringer? Or
I think Two Man owned him previously, so he probably was. That's why he was so nervous, because Two Man used to have him. Yeah, I don't know. They never got into where Cringer's origin story is still a mystery. Everybody.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, I wonder who gave him that name, because that's just mean.
Yeah, it is mean, because he's a cringy little piece of shit until the sword somehow, the sword affects both He-Man and Cringer at the same time, and he doesn't have to be sitting on Cringer for the transformation to take place.
Right.
That doesn't make sense.
Why doesn't it affect other people around He-Man? Yeah. If it affects the cat that's around He-Man or Prince Adam.
Sure. Prince of Eternia. Prince Adam.
Prince Adam.
I'm Prince Adam. Prince of Eternia and Keeper of the Secrets. Hey, real quick, someone in the chat says Orko was cool in the recent series. Really?
Well, I admit I haven't seen the recent series, so
I can't judge either. But how do you make Orko cool?
The Kevin Smith one, right?
Yeah, but how do you make Orko cool? How does that happen? How does that work? It doesn't.
I don't know.
It's literally not possible. All right, let's move on to this one. Hey, we talked about that handsome Conrad guy yesterday.
Yes, rugged man.
Rugged Conrad, former Utah, now Colorado, visiting dude Mike in a book, hyperclimber guy, right? Yes. Well, in this email, I forgot to play this.
Send and receive email.
In this email from Tim, he says, hey, scramble and belay. These are climbing terms.
Nice.
Is it like belay that order? Kind of a, is that the use of that?
Similar. It's if I remember correctly, it's a thing you put in the rock that you guide your. Belay is to go back down the rock, like you're belaying, like you're holding the rope in such a way that you're not just going to go right down the side of the rock face. You're holding your rope is in a belay that keeps a steady descent, a steady slow descent.
This is going to sound a little odd, but the way Brian went like that.
Yeah.
That told me that you have wanted to make that sound. I know this isn't true, but it made it sound like you've been holding that noise for about a month and are so stoked to finally make it. I don't know why.
Finally, I get to use that sound.
I don't know why. There's something about your jubilant usage of... Can't explain it. Anyway, all right. So there's that. These are all climbing terms. Just listen to episode TMS 2338, and Brian talked about lifting for Conrad Anker. Conrad Anker is one of the most famous modern climbers in the sports... or in the sport, and his story is immensely interesting. There is a documentary on Disney Plus about him called Torn, which is not about Rip Torn, the actor.
Or about Natalie Imbruglia.
No, none of that. Oh my gosh, I haven't heard that song in so long. Which is worth a watch if you're interested in all knowing more about his life. The basics of the story is that Conrad's climbing buddy and best friend, Alex Lowe, died tragically in a climbing accident, leaving his wife and three sons behind. Conrad, being Alex's best friend, took it upon himself to care for the family as they dealt with the loss. During that time, Alex's wife, Jennifer, finds comfort in in his companionship, and they get married. The story is about him having a deal with his best friend's death while living with the responsibility of doing right by his friend and his family, and how to best honor Alex Lowe's legacy in the climbing world and his family. It is a very heartwarming story and definitely worth a watch. Fish, sandwich, and all that nonsense, Tim Exley. Well, that's cool. There's more to that dude than I didn't know. He had a documentary on Disney Plus.
No kidding. Yeah. Well, guess what? I'm just adding to my.
You should watch that.
Excuse me, my watch list. Yeah.
Yeah. After right there, he climbed your Kia Soul. Now he's climbing the hearts of America.
That's everybody. Right. See, here we go. Showing you right now. There it is, right there. Torn. Oh, yeah. On Disney Plus, I'm clicking the Add to Watch List button right there. There is now a little check mark for Added to Watch List.
Oh, the ghost of Walt Disney himself approves. Nicely done.
Anyway. To all who come to this happy app, welcome.
Except if you're a Jew. All right, moving on. I have that right? He was kind of anti-Semitic. Wasn't that a thing?
I can't remember because he might have been.
It's something like that. I don't remember either. I don't know why it cracked me up. There's nothing funny about people being horrible to Jews. Just something about Walt Disney being that way. All right. Is that true or did I make that up?
Cyborg Dude says no. Nice accusation from
There was something.
Dwight Schrute.
Well, okay, now we gotta find it.
Was it, there was like an old Donald Duck cartoon where he, no, what was it? It was something like,
Was it? Okay. Was Walt Disney really an anti-Semite, according to the Jewish press?
Yeah. You read that, and your daughter has instructed me that it's time for me to clean my screen. So I'm going to just clean my screen while you explain.
Is your screen dirty? Oh, your iPad. Oh, she's one to talk. Let me tell you this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Carter's iPad Pro, which she uses to make amazing art and animation. Her iPad Pro is about... you need an X-Acto knife to remove the inch-thick freaking residue on her thing.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well.
What do you mean?
Well, how about that?
Carter, I need to show her screen. It is so foul. Somebody needs to, like, test it for diseases we don't have yet. You think COVID's bad?
It's like a Petri dish. It's a Petri dish pro going on.
It really is. Okay, here we go. Meryl Streep debates him at KSC. Okay, Streep took the opportunity to blast Disney as a racist and misogynist. Okay.
Streep said it. Overrated. Overrated. Just.
Let's see. Proof. It's zero evidence Disney ever wrote or said anything anti-Semitic in public. Oh, it's more that they think he was a little racist, but again, that was 90% of people of his time. Let's see. Streep's plenty of people. Okay, well, okay. So apparently he's. Okay, there's a whole story here, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he was accused of it. By Meryl Streep. That's where I must have heard it.
I think you probably heard it from the same place I think I heard it, which was Family Guy, which is where a lot of people in the chat room.
What, yeah. Really? Did Family Guy do? Maybe I did see that.
Thing, yeah.
And were they reacting to the to that?
It's like it's like going to a bar mitzvah with Walt Disney.
All right. Well, as usual, we know nothing more than when we started, so this is good.
Right.
All right. You guys, guess what? It's exciting because we do a lot of work in our newsroom. We got a lot of people back there pounding away.
A lot of people.
Lots of people. The best people. And they've got this to say. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by
Play Retro. Tonight, live or on podcast. Scott, tell me the rest.
Oh my gosh. So tonight we're talking about the old Sega racers of arcades and early consoles. Things like Outrun, one of the greatest arcade games ever made. I would also argue the Daytona USA was a big deal. We talk about Daytona. We talk mainly about, turns out a lot of it was Yu Suzuki, the famous developer of those days at Sega. Anyway, that's what we're talking about tonight. No, we're not going back as far as like pole position or any of that. That's for a different time. We're focusing squarely on that. So if you like retro gaming and you think a podcast about that might be interesting, join me and Brian Dunaway today at 3:30 Mountain Time or on the podcast right effing after. Okay? All right.
Cool. Cool.
Brian, here's your first headline.
By the way, Codes From Home gave my... my Peter Griffin review as a hint of Dennis Miller. No, my Dennis Miller was the earlier thing with the, what is she like? Thor Heyerdahl trying to gauge the wind before sailing the Cone Tiki to the New World.
I could hear it though a little bit. Do Peter again.
A little bit.
Do Peter.
He's my Peter Griffin.
It's like it's like Dennis Miller doing Peter Griffin is what it's like.
All right, I'll take that.
All right, that's fair. Sure. What's he doing anyway? Has he got a podcast? Probably. Dennis Miller?
Probably, yeah.
That's what all the comedians, the retired comedians do. They have podcasts. That's what they do.
Yeah, there's two podcasts. One where he talks about the events of the day and compares them to things from the 1930s. And then a second podcast where he explains each reference that he gave in his other, in his first podcast. Oh,
fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. He kind of drives me crazy. Anyway, moving on. 81-year-old woman nabbed at an airport with 5 kilos of heroin in her suitcase. Oh,
nice. So was this the Denver airport? Because it sure feels like it.
Sure does. With all the drugs coming in and out of there lately.
Yeah.
5 kilos of heroin on this 81-year-old Danish woman. She was traveling from Africa to Canada, which goes like this.
Canada!
And was arrested at a Warsaw airport on suspicion of illegal possession of heroin worth over $515,000.
Wow!
5 kilos is worth $500,000? Wow.
I believe it. Of heroin, sure.
That didn't seem... How much is that? That's kilos. That's...
That's enough to get all of the members of Fall Out Boy high.
I guess that is a lot, right? Kilos is such a... Because I'm not metric all the time... Kilos in the weight category. Weight category is my least amount of metric exposure,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I know, right? Because kilograms versus pounds and that sort of thing.
And I think in ounces and stuff. So I think I hear kilo sounds small. Oh, it's a little kilo. A little kilo. And so when
so
I hear
5 kilograms is 11 pounds.
Okay, that's a lot of coke, or heroin, rather.
It is, yeah.
That's a lot of overdoses right there. Yeah. Let's see. Customs officers at Frederick Chopin Airport. After the musician man guy.
I believe it's pronounced Chopin. Chopin.
Decided to check the woman's luggage Saturday or Sunday after becoming suspicious of her itinerary and her uneasy behavior. Mm. Oh, that 81-year-old over there. Very uneasy.
What is considered uneasy behavior for an 81-year-old? Like, she certainly looks worried about life.
Yeah, she looks really concerned about everything going on. It says packages of 5 kilograms, again about 11 pounds of heroin, were discovered under her false suitcase bottom. Mm. Wait a minute. Are they saying her bottom was like a false suitcase, or does she have a suitcase?
She has a false bottom. She is like one of those derrieres that you can buy at Spirit Halloween. Mm. You can hide heroin in.
Hey, isn't it time? Spirit Halloween ought to be kicking into full gear right
they
now.
They are already a little Lyft thing yesterday. I drove somebody to a Barnes & Noble that is in a shopping strip mall with 2 Spirit Halloweens.
Oh my gosh.
Cuckoo Bird taking over the... It's like a cuckoo bird taking over the empty nest. Cha-cha. They just wait for your... They just wait for the Circuit City to move the last little remnants of Mavis Beacon Teaches Typing out of aisle number 5 so they can swoop in with their dirty Minions costumes.
See? Cha-cha-cha. See? Now that's not Peter Griffin, everybody.
Right. Claire seems to think so.
She thinks so anyway, eh? she was retained. She was detained for 3 months and prosecutors have opened an investigation. So they're hanging on to her. Under Polish law, she faces up to 15 years in prison for illegal possession of narcotics. Denmark officials confirmed that a Danish citizen was detained in Poland. The ministry is providing consular assistance. So they could throw her in the can. But see, this is why I use a really old lady, because you think, oh, they'll never stop a nice old grandma in her 80s.
Right, right.
And there she is with her false bottom and her heroin thing.
I asked that old lady over there for a hard candy. She didn't have one in her purse, so I think something's up. Put her in detention.
Oh, my gosh. This is probably true of you as well. Right. My grandma had an actual jar full of actual hard candy, like those stupid
swirly
things.
Yeah, every grandma does.
What was the deal there? Why did they do that? Because I can tell you...
They just never wanted to be anywhere without hard candy. My grandmother, both my grandmothers and probably my step-grandmother... also has hard candy at any given time. I need to ask her. Next time I see her, I'm just going to say, just out of curiosity, got any hard candy?
They call them the greatest generation for a reason, Brian.
That's right.
This is it.
That's absolutely.
But they would all stick to each other. You'd open up that jar. You'd have to shake it a bunch and bang it around so that one would go loose. Like how that works in the South.
In humid climates, it's one piece of, it's like a ship in a bottle, that thing. You're never going to get it out because it's all one congealed mass of hard candy.
Chat says Great Depression. Yeah, some of that. You know, always have stuff on hand. Always have a cheap source of quick energy, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I don't know. She also did.
You know, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm a budding grandparent. Look, I've got a jar of hard candy right here. This is my jar of atomic fireballs.
Those are hard. They're hard.
These are hard. They're candy. They're individually wrapped. And in my car, I have them in the inside pocket of some of my jackets, my winter jackets. I have them. It's like, yeah, you know, if I just need a mint or just something to occupy myself, then I'll pull out an atomic fireball.
But maybe Kim's version of this is a giant metal pot full of jambalaya always available in the fridge. Maybe that's what this is.
maybe that's how it manifests itself first.
Yeah. Gen X decided that we're going to take this a different direction. So,
right. Okay. Now, as she gets older, that jambalaya will move out of the fridge into little individual Tupperware containers that will be kept in a purse on the go to hand to people who need them.
Just little to-go balls, you know, like a little, I don't know. You know, you could squeak all the air out of this tiny Ziploc, then Ziploc it in. Now you got like four or five of those in your purse. Oh, yeah.
Piece of cake. There you go. Yeah. Exactly.
She's on her way. Anyway, we hope this old lady understands what the hell she did and doesn't go to. I hope she don't. That, look, I don't know why I feel this way. She committed the crime. You got to do the time. Mm-hmm. But do they give any leniency for just like, she's 81? Can she do the Uncle Leo and go, I'm old. I thought I paid for it. You know, can she do that? Maybe she can do that.
If any lawyer worth his salt is certainly working on I didn't know what I was doing defense. Yeah. Easily, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would do. But those Polish men, they'll come after you. They'll get you. All right. Here's a story about Chipotle.
Yes.
I've only ever been to a Chipotle once. Have I ever told you that? One time.
No.
And not because I don't want to go again. I just went the one time.
Is it's not convenient to you?
There's Chipotle's more stuff. There's more stuff closer. I was going for that kind of thing, we still don't have a Qdoba either. So.
Oh really? There is a Qdoba less than a mile from my house. I can walk there in probably 10 minutes and have a.
See, that sounds
a burrito
right.
That's bigger than any person really should consume on their own.
That's true. That walk isn't going to burn that off, you know?
No, not close.
Not less than a mile. Well, anyway, Chipotle is in the news because they got a new scented candle, which they say is a nod to customers who, quote, accidentally, unquote, fill water cups with lemonade.
It's better than it's better than a vagina candle.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I don't know. I have one of those. It's pretty good. It's all right. thank you, Cleo, for that. We haven't seen Cleo in the chat. She was here for a bit in the chat and then gone.
She
again.
Was, yeah. I think she probably working? Work is taking a toll on her time or something.
Yeah, time toll. We all have
time
to pay.
Toll.
Tally, please. Sullying the chat room with a horrible comment.
Jeez, well.
Whew. Anyway. It's not that at all. That's the other thing. That vagina candle from Gwen, or what's her name?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, I was going to call her. I can't even think of her name in Iron Man now. What's wrong with me?
Oh, Pepper Potts.
Pepper Potts. Jeez Louise.
Pepper Potts.
It just smells like some flower thing.
Yeah, it's a floral thing. I mean, it's obviously what she... never mind.
She wishes. she wishes... never mind.
I've decided to just pull the ripcord on this one. I'm going to float to Earth safely
let's float to safety together. I'm going with you. All right. Yeah. So here's the deal. In case you were wondering, says this article from thekitchen.com, although the kitchen spelled without an E at the end, and it really bugs me.
Kitchen.
It's like
they have an E in the. They could borrow the E from the and put it in the kitchen.
That's
it's not
true.
Like they don't have access to an E.
That's true. It says, in case you're wondering, Chipotle is well aware that every cup of water they give away is not actually being filled with water at the self-service drink fountain. It's often been a topic of conversation across the company's social media platforms, and now it's become the clever inspiration for a new lemonade scented candle. This is true of everywhere, though, that gives you a thing of water and self-serve.
Yeah, yeah,
it's not
exactly.
Like
it's
Chipotle.
It's not limited to Chipotle.
I've never done this, though.
I haven't either. I feel guilty about it.
I would feel bad. Yeah, that isn't my limit. Yeah. I didn't pay for it.
To be honest, I never ask for water if there's a perfectly good Coke Zero or Diet Dr. Pepper fountain drink nearby. So
that's true. I usually don't either. But if I do get water, I just get water. It's because I want water, you know? So right, I feel like if people are going to get lemonade, but they ask for water, that means they wanted lemonade and were too cheap to pay for it.
That's exactly what it means. Yes.
Yeah. Lame. Yeah. I don't like it.
There is no accidentally involved.
No. So here's what.
I thought the button that said lemonade was what I was supposed to depress to get the water.
Isn't that Spanish for water? I'm in a Chipotle.
Lemonade.
Lemonade.
Isn't that a reference to the Beyonce album?
It says here, okay, so this is the joke of it. It's called the water cup candle. That's what it's called. But it smells like lemonade. So that's pretty funny, I think.
That is really funny, yes.
We'll be available beginning Thursday, August 18th. We're already there then. And we'll have them there till supplies last. You just have to go to Chipotle, see if they have it. The tongue-in-cheek homage to fans who accidentally, quote-unquote, accidentally fill their water cups with lemonade, priced at $28.
Whew. Hey, I'm going to buy this and hopefully sell it on eBay for twice as much.
Yeah.
When they sell out, when they run out of these things.
That's horrendous. That's too
much. No one's buying this to say, I'm going to take it home and light it and smell lemonade for $28.
And definitely, they're not going after the clientele who do the cheat, because they're already too cheap. They're not going to pay $28 for a candle. They're going
unless they want to have a permanent commemoration of their cheating.
Yeah, that's true. Have a little homage sitting on your thing. In addition to the cost of shipping and handling being included in the price, fans can purchase the water cup candle, who will also receive a promo code to redeem it for a free lemonade in stores. So they're really, really piling on here.
When you factor in the free lemonade coupon, then it really takes the price down to $26. Mm, That's better.
Yeah, much, much better. It says it's not the first to release a scented candle based on menu items, though. Let's see. It joins the likes of Shake Shack's Burger and Fries candle and Burger in the Park candles, IKEA's Swedish meatball scented Hoovedroll candle. I don't know if that's right.
People to assemble it too. Yeah.
I've seen the Northmen. I played a lot of Assassin's Creed Valhalla, but I don't know what that word is.
I think you pronounced it perfectly.
McDonald's has an innovative 6 candle scent or set, each inspired by a different Big Mac ingredient. So you're supposed to burn them all together and you smell an entire Big Mac. I kind of want that.
Yeah.
Just because it's weird and I'll never light it.
It is kind of weird. And that's recent. Isn't that like within the last 6 months we talked about the Big Mac?
Did we talk about it?
I don't
remember. Yeah. Did we go over that? I don't remember.
Sounds familiar.
Quiznos bankruptcy scented candle. Did they go bankrupt? What happened to Quiznos?
They did go bankrupt, but I don't think that's a real thing.
Oh, I don't like. Well, yeah, I'm sure that's not real, but I didn't know Quiznos went bankrupt.
Yeah.
They're gone?
At least the one by us is gonzo. Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay.
It's already a pub, a tap house.
Founded 1981. Yeah. Let's see. Denver, Colorado's headquarters.
Yep.
Or was.
Was.
Are they done? That makes me sad.
Yeah.
I mean, I like them.
You don't have a firehouse where they can make your hot sub? Come on.
And Quiznos is good to us. Remember that weird thing with those funky...
We like the moon.
Yeah. I love that. That ad campaign is the best.
Oh, it was the best. Who was that? That was... Because they also did a video for Elbow's cover of Beyonce's Single Ladies. No, it was, speaking of Beyonce, it was Elbow's cover of I Depend on Me. Because they had the little cats that like would play instruments.
Oh, it was
like the cutout cats.
Oh, right. I like the cutout cats. Some early, it's back when the internet was mostly just harmless memes and not dicks.
Right.
Okay, here it is. On December 1st, 2015, Quiznos opened a concept restaurant called Quiznos Grill. And this is after their bankruptcy in 2014. They did Chapter 11, which is to reorganize, right? To get better. Oh, they emerged from bankruptcy 4 months later on June 30th, 2014, and reduced its debt by approximately $400 million. Okay, so they were in 2016. The concept was abandoned and relaunched as Zepp's Epic Sandwiches. Some of Quiznos grill sandwiches remain on the menu. Let's see. On June 11th, 2018, Quiznos announced it was acquired by California-based High Bluff Capital Partners. The chain will remain its headquarters in Denver, and that's what's going on now. That's where we're at.
There we go. By the way, Joel Veitch is the creator of the both the Quiznos commercial and that elbow song with the kittens, and I put a copy of that in the chat room or in the Discord if you want to watch it.
I do. Let's play it now. Well, this get us probably won't get us in trouble, right?
I don't think so.
It's just weird. Yeah. Oh, this is so weird. All right, here you go, chat. I'm going to pause YouTube just in case.
Just in case. Yeah, good idea.
Whoa. I think I just crashed OBS. Hold on.
Oh, no.
Damn it.
Oh, yeah. Looking at the chat room.
Start streaming. All right. Hang on, chat. We're coming back.
They don't know. They can't hear you say that.
Okay. We're coming back, everybody. No, they don't know. I mean, they will. They probably now hear me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're back. All right. Sorry about that, everybody. Here's the screen. And I'll play some of this here. Oh, let me turn on the audio. Oh, gosh.
Question?
Oh, it's so weird. I forgot about this.
Yeah.
So he did the commercials as well?
Yeah, Joel Veitch. From Rather Good.
This is great.
Yes.
These,
depend on me.
These cats are great. All right, I'm convinced. You convinced me that that's the greatest thing ever made.
it's like watching Peaky Blinders, the cat version.
Yeah, get those guns, Tommy. Yeah. Awesome. Well, there's your story about Chipotle and their dumb candle.
Yeah, go buy one and let us know how it is.
Let's move on to some more food items.
Sure.
Plant-based food company has made a human meat burger. Okay. Human meat burger, everybody. Human.
This is beyond meat.
Yeah, this is beyond the pale. Says here we all want a healthier planet, healthier lifestyle. We should be consuming less meat. These days there are plenty of meat-free products on the market. One plant-based food company looks to take things further by developing a plant-based human meat burger. In a bizarre twist, the Swedish company Oomph. That can't be real. Right?
The company name? Why not?
I don't know. Because it looks
we'll finish
like
the sentence because there's more to it. It's not because
it looks like the name of it's the sound that the skipper makes when he gets hit in the gut with a coconut.
No, that's oop.
Oop, little buddy. Yeah. Anyway, developed a product which they say tastes just like human flesh based on extensive research. The company's human meat plant-based burger is made from soy, mushrooms, and wheat protein, as well as plant-based fats and a mix of different spices. Oh my gosh, Claire, your link is too big. It was developed around Halloween last year, where it was sold from Stockholm food truck as the scariest plant-based food ever. The short advertisement for the burger featured scary music, dark scenes, and a sinister voiceover with a disclaimer in the caption reading, "No humans were harmed in the making of this burger." I still think Oomph is a weird name for your company.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, I don't like it.
It's Oomph.net, Oomph.net.
Yeah.
Oomph is here to rock your taste buds with epic plant-based food. Simple as that.
Let's see. Taste bud rocking plant-based food. Bite first, ask
oomph
later.
Oomph doner fajitas, pulled oomph tacos, oomph kebab.
Okay, so this is all alternative meat product stuff. Yep. Ooh, this looks all right. Some of this looks really good.
I mean, they can take a good picture, right? The fajita meat, the tacos, yeah.
I think you're right. This is just this is good photography is what this is.
It is, yeah. Nowhere outside of Europe and one little oomph down in South Africa.
Nah. A little oomph will get you. It'll get you every time. All right. Well, they're making human meat, and I would test it on the show if someone sent us some.
Sure.
All right. I don't know how you get it here or how it needs to be kept or any of that, but if you can.
Oh, God. I know. It has to be, yeah.
If you can do it in a way that we're not poisoning ourselves.
Plant-based or not, that thing probably still has to be refrigerated on its long journey from Europe to here.
Yeah, from Milan to Minsk. Get it here, man.
Yeah.
The Book of Eli taught me human meat is not that healthy. Yeah, that movie goes deep into that. People get the shakes. Is that true though? If I eat some of Vibbit, would I get the shakes? Is that the deal?
You'd get at least the last shakes I had, which were from Freddy's.
Oh my lord.
Ah!
Yeah, I get it. I get what you did. Final story. A snake lover. Snakes. See, everything leads into it. These are great transitions. We went from parcel shakes to snakes.
Is what he is.
Yeah, the parcel tongue lover built robotic legs for a snake, and it's kind of insane. You need to see this video.
So already, there's no way it's as good as what I'm imagining. Yeah. Oh, it is.
It is as good as what you're imagining. So he's basically built 3D printed, mechanized effing legs for this damn snake. I'm going to skip past all his talking.
I know, exactly. Jeez Louise, he talks a lot.
That's a lot of talking. There we go. So basically, it's this tube. legs.
He's really just turning a snake into a Komodo dragon is what he's doing.
Kind of, yeah. And then he puts his big old boa in there, who doesn't seem to want to go in at first. He's like, nope, I'm getting out. He wants to get out.
Yeah.
Okay, there it is. I mean, all it is it's not like the snake's determining its trajectory.
No, he's driving the snake. You might as well put a snake on a Roomba.
Yeah, it's not nearly as cool as you think, but it's fun YouTube fodder.
It's cool to watch. I mean, you know, once somebody attaches some electrodes to the snake, or even just like makes it so that the head movements drive the legs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wouldn't this be? It's at least possible.
Yeah,
but you'd have to really. It's got to be more than this thing.
Yeah.
This guy in his garage making this weirdness. Oh, look, he's got it on a leash, and it is actually kind of moving.
Like a leash. As he can take it off
weird.
For a walk.
That's weird.
It's so weird.
I bet that lady wouldn't come after you if you're walking your weird robot pet snake and it poops in the grass.
No, she would have had more words for me. Oh my gosh, that's great. All right, so those are your stories. That means it's time for us to take a break. When we come back, we'll spend a little time with Bill, a guy who's making all kinds of stuff. I don't think he's making snake legs, but you know, he'll make other things.
Now maybe he'll get some ideas. Maybe
now's
he will.
The time. Here's the place. Yeah. So that'll be after this song Brian brought. Brian, play it for me, please. What do you?
It's all High Hopes today on TMS. Both songs referencing High Hopes. This one actually in the title. Philadelphia-based singer-songwriter Tim. Just Tim.
Tim.
Is releasing his debut single. It is called High Hopes. It's produced by Will Hoge and co-written with Dave Howes, who also, I believe, appears on the song. Anyway, it sums up his perspective on life through the lens of a Philadelphian. This whole thing is crumbling, but let's enjoy it together while we can. I can't tell if it's heaven or hell. It's probably a little bit of both, he says. Here is Tim and the song High Hopes.
All right, we'll be back in just a second. Stay tuned.
In the pouring rain before it turns to acid. Texas Hold'em in the highway lanes before they turn to traffic. I got a ticket for a one-way plane and watched Phoenix turn to ashes. Oh, turn to ashes. The crowd was singing high. Smiling through a broken nose, dancing on a tightrope, a tightrope. I feel a little less alone. Cut myself while shaving my face just to try and find a new habit. Losing ground, running in place like a fat man chasing a rabbit. Blood and oil bubbling up on my plate, so I smashed it against the granite. Oh, I need a new habit. The crowd was singing high hopes, smiling through a broken nose. then let's buy. If it's hell, then let's sell. The crowd was singing high hopes, smiling through a broken nose, dancing on a tight rope, a tight rope. The crowd was singing high hopes, smiling through a broken nose, dancing on a tight rope, a tight rope. The crowd was singing high hopes, smiling through a broken nose. Oh, high hopes, high hopes. I feel a little less alone.
Man, you know what's crazy? Let me tell you what's crazy. It's crazy that so many of us enjoy the finer things in life. And so many of us still settle for blah coffee every day. Well, with Trade Coffee, you can start every morning with something special. So, my wife's one of those people that drinks a lot of coffee. But, you know, couldn't tell you exactly what makes a good cup taste good. I don't know, maybe you've asked her, she could tell you, but probably not. All I know is that when she drinks coffee from Trade Coffee, it's amazing. Not to get too deep, but every day is precious, right? Every day matters. We should all make the most of our days. They shouldn't start with mediocre grocery store, you know, end-of-the-line coffee. You deserve to start your day with the best coffee you can make at home from Trade Coffee. So check this out. It's a subscription service. Like a lot of things these days, right? Makes sense. Very convenient. Easy to use. But it's unlike anything you've tried before because they partner with top independent roasters to freshly roast and send the best coffees in the country directly to your home on a preferred schedule. Your preferred schedule. And your trade experience can be as simple or as sophisticated as you want it to be. You quickly send or get select coffees curated from collections by roast, by flavor, by method of brewing, and more. There's more categories. Their team of experts do all the work. They taste test hundreds of coffees from across the U.S. every month. And they do all this to curate over 450 exceptional coffees that make the cut. So, if you want something curated just for you, take a minute and complete the Trade Coffee questionnaire, which is super easy, by the way. And they will expertly match you with your perfect coffee. And a fresh bag of beans will be on its way. So it's amazing. I can't believe the stuff they sent us. Kim loved, and I'm not that big of a, like, I don't love coffee, but man, something good about the stuff they sent us. So it's really, really good. And taking the test was easy. Knowing it's from, you know, roasters that you know, depend on this kind of business is also cool. It's just great. So Trade is the easiest way to get your best tasting coffee delivered fresh when you need it. You've got nothing to lose because Trade guarantees you will love your first bag. If not, they'll work with you to replace it for free. So if you want to support small businesses and brew the best cup of coffee you've ever made at home, it's time to try Trade Coffee. Right now, Trade is offering our listeners a total of $30 off your first order, plus free shipping at drinktrade.com/TMS. That's drinktrade.com/TMS for $30 off your subscription to the best coffees in the world.
This is a video for you to get ready with me, for my get ready with me video. So to start, before I make this get ready with me video, I need to cover my penis. So I've selected these unicorn pants to cover my shaft and also testicles.
You can't spell the morning stream without remonstrating. This is the morning stream.
All right, just real quick, that's the dude. He was in the Suicide Squad remake sequel thing.
Oh, uh-huh.
Guy with the spear. What was the character's name? The German guy with the spear.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember.
I can't remember either, but I think his real name. Oh, there. I think that's right. Tally is a Fuleborg.
Fuleborg.
He is an amazing TikTok follow, that guy.
Really? Okay. Yeah,
because he's Javelin. That was his name. He's just, he does like react videos and like, if he's funny as crap. He's so funny. Huh. And this is my get ready video. My shaft and testicles. He was killing me. All right. Anyway, Brian, hey, remind me who that was.
Yeah.
That song.
Yeah. Oh, that song is called High Hopes, and it's by Tim, and it's a brand new single. Just do a search for Tim High Hopes and maybe even Dave Howes, H-A-U-S-E, if you're really having a hard time finding it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's tricky. Life's tricky.
Yeah.
Comes at you fast.
Right.
All right.
If you don't stop to look around every once in a while, you might miss it.
You might miss it, says Ferris Bueller. That was before or after Matthew Broderick killed somebody?
Wait a minute.
Do you remember that? He ran over somebody or something. Didn't that happen? Hold on.
That I don't remember, but
Broderick. But
it's certainly possible.
Murdered.
Oh, God. Oh, 1987 car crash.
Was that it? I think that's it.
Yeah. Collided with a head on with a Volvo. The driver, Anna Gallagher, and her mother were both killed instantly.
Yeah. But he made it.
Oh, wow. He was vacationing with Jennifer Grey, his sister, who he had begun dating in semi-secrecy during the filming of Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it's dark, right? Dark business.
Oh, that is a dark business. Yeah. Jeez.
Well, speaking of dark business, let's play this.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Hey, Bill's here. He's here, as he always is here on Tuesdays, to talk about the world of makers and making things from punishprops.com, of course. Bill, welcome back. How are you? Bill? I don't hear Bill. Oh, we lost him.
He's not in our Discord anymore.
Oh, he was there ever so briefly. We'll try that again. Hello, Bill. Is this you? Hello?
Hello? Bill.
Hello, Bill.
Bill.
I see him. I don't hear him.
I don't know why I don't hear anything.
Oh, now we hear you.
Now we hear you. Do you hear us? I'm guessing he doesn't hear us.
I'll tell him that we hear him.
We definitely hear you. Do you hear me? We hear you. But you don't hear me.
We don't hear you anymore if you...
Yeah, do you hear us still now? Talking. He may not be. Yeah, I wonder if he's even talking. He's a maker. He's got to make things now. He's got to make computer work.
Pick up a microphone real quick.
Yeah. My guess is... Here's my guess. Windows changed his sound sources because he rebooted.
Oh, sure.
Oh, green. I saw a green ring of speakage.
Oh, I see. Yeah, there's green ring.
Yeah. I think I can hear us on a stream. He's like checking to see if we can hear him or not. Yeah, I'm guessing Windows changed your input and outputs and stuff because it does it to me all the time on my Windows machine. Never does it on my Mac for whatever reason. Not trying to start a fight here. I'm just telling you how it works. Never have to do it. But on the PC, for some reason, you reboot Windows 11. Could be an 11 thing. You reboot and it goes... Yep. Oh, you didn't want it to be your monitor speakers? You didn't want us to change it to that? Well, how weird. Weird. Who doesn't want to use their monitor speakers instead of their freaking headphones? I don't know, Windows. Bill, do you hear us? Do you hear us, Bill? No, Bill? Yes, Bill?
Shoot.
Kind of Bill? Okay, so changing plans, everybody. We're getting Bobby in first because Bill's got issues with his sound stuff. Got a little bit of the old 3D printer all wound up in his microphone.
Yes, he dropped some foam and some resin in there. And,
sure, it happens.
He Dremeled it, unfortunately, is the problem.
Yeah, and when you Dremel things, well, Dremel means trouble.
Science.
Oh, okay, now it's time for some science. It's Bobby Frankenberger, who, up till just a few minutes ago, was slated, possibly anyway, to be going on to his first flight lesson. Tell me about what happened. How come that didn't happen? Because that was supposed to be...
He's going there now. Nope, he's coming back.
He's getting light. He's putting a little light on the situation. So wait, Bobby, so you were supposed to go yesterday and start flying, and then today, because yesterday had bad weather, how come it got canceled today?
Same thing. It's not that the weather was bad today. It's that the clouds have to be at a certain... cloud level, like the ceiling of the cloud ceiling has to be high enough for you to fly. Weather is really unpredictable this time of year.
Were they going to let you get behind like the throttle and all that, like actually fly or what do you get to
yeah
do?
So So yeah, I'm starting those flying lessons. I actually went and did what's called a, this was about a week ago. I went and did what's called a discovery flight.
Yeah.
And that's where you, it's where you go and they, it's basically, they're just showing you what it's like to be in a plane, and you get with, you meet your flight, your potential flight instructor. They take you up in the plane that you would be training in, and then let you, you know, they'll take off and land, but they let me fly around, like do a couple of maneuvers out. It was a really short flight, like 30 minutes.
Called a discovery flight?
It's called a discovery flight.
Now, I would have, now if I heard discovery flight, that sounds like an airplane that you aim at the HBO headquarters and then crash it indirectly.
Oh, I was thinking it was going to be more a
rip from today's
Star Trek
headlines.
Reference.
Oh yeah, no, that'd even be better. But I'm ripping it from the headlines, folks. I'm taking the latest Discovery Plus HBO Max dirt and pulling it into the sky because Bobby's telling us a cool story, and I decided to derail it. Anyway, Bobby, well, that's cool. So the goal here is what you're going to be flying, you know, big old planes at some point, or what's your plan? What's the long term on this?
No, I'm trying to get my private pilot's license. I've always wanted to fly, and I'm blind in one eye, so I used to think that I couldn't, but I found out a couple of years ago that you can fly even if you're blind in one eye. You just have to jump through more hoops with the FAA.
I've been fighting
with that for a year or so, and I'm finally to the point where it makes sense for me to start taking flying lessons now. And that's the goal.
Do you have to inform any potential passengers that you're, you know, one eye McGee up there, and they just need to know that getting in?
You don't have to, but just like when I'm driving, I love to tell people when I used to do that in high school when I would drive someone home from, oh, I need a ride home from school. I'd drive them about halfway. I'd turn over and be like, oh, have I ever told you that I'm blind in one eye?
Oh man, that's great. That's a great way to you should do that with dates and stuff. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, you do not have to tell anybody. You don't have to disclose that as a pilot. It doesn't really hamper your, especially I was born blind in one eye, so I've lived my whole life that way, and it doesn't really affect me that much.
Yeah, it's all you know. It's what you got. For all I know, it's better because now you got, I don't know, you've got more. So I'll bet you have more situational awareness than I do because you have to, right?
Oh, sure.
Except for on the one side.
Oh, yeah. Except
does it increase your other senses by half?
Yeah, I can. I'm blind in my right eye, so I can smell and hear on the right side of my head.
Whoa.
My right nostril is fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That thing's
oh, yeah.
huge. Look how big that right nostril is. And all hairy in there. Anyway. Well, it's great to hear, but also sad that your lessons got canceled. I'm sure clouds will clear.
It's expected. It really sucks more that it's supposed to be my first lesson because I'm like really anxious and excited to do it, you know?
Yeah.
But they get canceled. You just have to be prepared for that because, you know, it's not that you can't fly when the cloud ceiling is low. It's just that it's not great when you're learning how to fly,
right?
because you'd be in the clouds. But if you already have your license and you're trying to go somewhere, you just fly. You just go through the cloud. You go up and go above the clouds.
Do you feel like a NASA mission that just keeps getting scrapped at the last second? You know,
yes.
Because of weather. Yeah. Okay. Well, good. Yeah. That's a good transition into our science topic. Although I don't know what the topic is today, but that's what Bobby does. He comes on Tuesdays and we talk about science because he is the host, one of the hosts of All Around Science, a fantastic podcast that is about, you guessed it, science. So today we're talking about what?
We're talking about the thylacine. You ever heard of the thylacine?
I saw the thigh I saw in high school. Ooh, boy. Oh, not the thigh I've seen. That's not what you're saying.
Not the thigh you've seen.
No.
Dang.
But the thylacine, it's an extinct marsupial. Looks kind of like if a wild dog and a wolf had a baby and then stuck it into a tiger. It's just like,
wow.
It's just crazy looking animal, but it's extinct. It went extinct in Australia and Tasmania. It's often called the Tasmanian tiger.
I have heard of that. Okay. Yeah. I didn't realize
it went extinct because, well, I mean, it was native to mainland Australia and then it slowly died off and it was only left in Tasmania, but then, you know, good old colonists came and colonized, and they decided we want to grow livestock here, and the thylacine was a problem because they would hunt and eat the livestock. So the government put a bounty on thylacine, and in a couple of decades they were extinct.
Wow.
Because people love money.
Oh yeah, money's I wonder how many times money has been the chief operator behind the extinction of a species or subspecies.
I would say most of the time, yeah. At least in modern days.
Yeah.
Just follow the money.
I don't like that.
But the reason I'm talking about it, and I wanted to talk about it, is that last week or earlier this month, I don't remember if it was exactly last week, I think it was, there's a company called Colossal that has announced that they're going to attempt to bring back the thylacine. They're going to de-extinct it, is what they want to do.
Damn. So this is not the same as cloning, like a sheep or whatever. But are we in the same neighborhood?
Cloning is one way that you can de-extinct something. That's not the way that they're going to approach it, but you could clone something. That's one way you could do it. The problem with cloning is that if you're trying to bring back an extinct species, to clone it, you have to have a completely intact cell with all the nuclear DNA to clone it.
Right.
And as you might imagine, when an animal's been extinct for, you know, it went completely extinct. The last one in captivity, the last thylacine in captivity, died, I think, in 1936. So it's almost it's been extinct for almost 100 years.
Yeah, it's been a bit.
So we don't have any great samples of cells to use for cloning. But what they want to do, it's kind of a neat thing. This company, Colossal, has been trying to de-extinct the woolly mammoth for a while now.
Oh yeah, I did hear about this. Tom was talking about something on Wednesday. So they haven't done that, right? There's no woolly mammoth I'm aware of.
There were that you're aware of.
Yeah.
they've been working on it, and they're going to use the same method that they've been using for that. So I'm going to explain what they've been doing with the woolly mammoth to tell you this is how they're going to do it with the thylacine. So what they've done is a woolly mammoth is obviously, maybe not obviously, but you can easily understand that it's closely related to the modern day elephant.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
At least, you know, genetically and evolutionarily, it's related to an elephant. It was about a million years ago or something is when they had the common ancestor. So what they can do, because we have unearthed samples of woolly mammoth, like underneath, you know, like deep layers of ice and everything.
Preserved.
So, yeah. Yeah. So not necessarily like entire organisms, but there's been tissue and decent samples of preserved tissue that they're able to get DNA from. Now, this DNA does degrade over time, so it's not perfectly intact. It's not, we don't have a complete woolly mammoth genome. If we did, then we would do we could just clone it, like we were just talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But we don't have a complete genome.
Wait, since we have a complete human genome, does that mean someone's making humans somewhere and not telling us?
It's possible.
We were not. Yeah.
I mean,
other
than the traditional, you know, get it on, get it out way, you know what I mean?
Human cloning is certainly a hotly debated ethical science topic. Most people agree that we shouldn't do it.
Ethically, it is weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
But not for woolly mammoths,
animals,
damn it.
It's free reign.
Exactly. Screw those guys. We're going to eat them anyway, so may as well make more.
Any woolly mammoths want to dispute this? Protest
exactly.
Nothing? Okay.
Nothing? Right. Oh, okay.
You're not here to complain.
Sure.
So what we do, we have the incomplete woolly mammoth genome. And so what they can do is they can take what we have of the woolly mammoth. It's from a bunch of different samples. Put together as complete a woolly mammoth genome as we can, and then look at elephants, which are their closest modern day relatives, and we can compare the genomes and look at where the differences exist.
Because I mean, you can like mix and match. Can you go like, oh, we're missing sequences 15 through 20,
just fill it in DNA or something?
That's sort of, in a way, what they are trying to do. Is you look at where things are different, like, oh, there's where the, you know, the woolly part of the genome is, and that's different than we're seeing on the elephant genome. So you can then take, once you've identified where all the differences are, and you see what needs to change, then you take an elephant genome and you make the changes, right?
Okay. So basically you could end up with a really, let's say you match it up pretty well, you end up with a very hairy elephant, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And what if the reason that the woolly mammoth died out was because they smelled so freaking bad that the entirety of the planet suffered. Like, everybody suffered from the smell of...
They couldn't sneak up on any prey to eat it because they smelled so bad.
They were that bad.
I think they were probably vegetarians.
But, and then, they probably were.
They kill the plants off the plants. Just fall dead. Right, stink exactly, lines before constantly they get a killing chance everything. To
eat stink lines killing everything. I love that. So, but I mean, I guess I'm not trying to like be like Jurassic Parky about this, but do you think... Is it possible there's like a reason that these things... pooped out that wasn't just man, or, you know, we didn't just kill them all and get all their coats or whatever. Maybe there was a natural, they evolved the way they did because of a reason. And how do we learn that? We don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
No, we don't. And a lot of people are arguing that. I'm trying very hard not to say the Jurassic Park quote that everybody wants me to say.
Yeah.
should we actually do this? That's a very good question.
that sounded well, a lot like the quote. Yeah,
yeah, you teetered on the edge there, Bobby. That's almost
that's,
it.
That's like what that. I like to do.
Yeah. No, but you know, you never asked yourself if you could say the quote. You didn't. You needed to ask yourself if you should say the quote, right?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. That's exactly what's going on right
We've
now.
We've gone meta. Full meta here.
So one of the arguments that this company makes for why we should do it is that they're focusing on what are called keystone species, which are species in an ecosystem which have sort of a disproportionately large impact on an ecosystem. A good example of a keystone species would be like a beaver, because there aren't maybe a lot of them in an ecosystem, but through their, you know, dam building and the way they engineer water systems, they have a very large impact on an ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So removing beavers from an ecosystem would have big consequences, and so that's what a keystone species is. And the woolly mammoth, apparently, according to them, was a keystone species, and bringing them back, they think, could actually, I don't know how, this is very speculative, I'm sure, but they think it could help combat global warming. Because they will help spread vegetation, and because this is the part that sounds silly and I think is real speculation, but they're very big and heavy enough that it would break up the surface like permafrost and help things grow again, I guess.
Really? That's an actual
That's what they say, but this is a company that's trying to sell this technology, right?
They have motives, sure.
So who knows? But what they do know is that they've been working on this for a while with the woolly mammoth, and they want to do it with the thylacine now too. And so that it was a keystone species in Tasmania, and they think that, to me, seems like it could have a more positive, it's more likely that it could have a positive impact on the ecosystems of Tasmania, because it's not been that long since it's been gone. And so Tasmania might still be undergoing the effects of the changes in the ecosystem. Now, the argument against that is, well, whatever ecological niche that the thylacine filled is probably already filled by something else. So bringing something back could cause something else to go extinct. And you just don't know. And that's a risky proposition.
So, okay, let me ask you this. We're so good at this now. We can do all this gene splicing and mixing and matching, whatever we got to do to bring back a woolly mammoth. Is it possible we could make them hyper intelligent and mandatory? All of them have to have Ray Romano's voice. Is this possible? Can we do this?
Well, that's what they're working on right now, but they're in negotiations with Ray Romano's agent.
Okay.
His people.
Yeah. He's not doing a ton. He's, you know, he still does stuff, but he's not like super busy. I think they can work it out.
Yeah. That's right. There's no Irishman sequel coming out that we need him for. So,
no, that's true. Oh, he was good in that. I liked him.
He was really good in that. Yeah.
Real quick here. What was I going to say? I was going to say a thing. Oh, it does seem like progress to say instead of making money by eliminating animals, somebody's trying to make money by bringing them back. That's something.
It does, but it also, to me, feels like really, like you're getting really excited about something and maybe not thinking it all the way through. I don't want to say, I don't know how much
you'd want to poo-poo it, do you?
You want to poo-poo
there? I'm not in their, like, discussion board meetings or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much they have. They may very well have thought all this out.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like very easily one of these things that in 100 years we're going to be looking back and... I mean, this is like... You can't not talk about Jurassic Park because
it's impossible.
That's exactly what the argument was there, right?
No, it's impossible to not to. The only difference here is a hapless lawyer won't be bitten off of a toilet by a woolly mammoth.
The thylacine is a carnivore.
So. Yeah, and by the way, people at home, ask your doctor if thylacine is right for you.
Okay? Thylacine available over the counter.
I'm just spilling all my garbage in the lobby here.
Appreciate you doing that.
Yeah. Excellent. So this is fascinating. I really actually am very interested in this, just from a curiosity standpoint. And I remember when the first sheep was cloned. What was the name of that thing?
Dolly.
I remember going, that is some science fiction bullshit. We are way ahead on this. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like we haven't heard anything. Like, it feels like it's just kind of gone quiet. I know it hasn't, but it feels like it's like not a big deal anymore. Kind of like the artificial heart. I remember being blown away by that. Mm-hmm. And now it's just like, big deal.
One thing that is good, that is, regardless of whether they succeed at this and regardless of whether or not the scientific community decides that this is a good idea or not, one thing that is great about this is that research into this type of genetic modification and this genetic research, this ecological research, this will have downstream effects for other areas of science. It's helping us understand. Some people say, like, this could help with conservation of different animals, because you could arguably, through what we learn of doing this, you could arguably take current modern species, like modern elephants, which are near extinct. Some of them are, anyway. Maybe you could genetically modify them to have more genetic diversity, which could allow them to better survive.
Like
global
pandas.
Climate change.
Pandas would be good, because pandas are always like, even when they're together and you're like making it all perfect, they're just like, I don't want to have sex. I'm good. I don't want to propagate my species.
Genetically engineer a libido into them.
Or something. Because they just seem to like, well, when they're in captivity, they get really weird. Like, they don't like captivity. But even out in the wild, they're having a hard time getting it on. So you end up with like two or three pandas left or whatever the crap we're with. Like, I would like to see pandas live on. Pandas are great.
Sure.
They're cute. They're cuddly.
I can't blame them, though. Imagine that you were put in a zoo. You and Kim were put in a zoo. Would you, and everybody's watching you constantly, would you really feel like...
What's different about now?
Yeah. I mean, if Twitch had... If
oh, no. Everybody's watching? Oh.
If Twitch is...
What are my visitor numbers? What are my site views?
Yeah. If Twitch wasn't so hardcore about their rules... Who's to say we wouldn't be doing it now? Well, anyway, this is fascinating stuff. Sorry, Carter, you had to hear that. That's it. Bobby, you've got another show that's fantastic. It's All Around Science. What are you guys covering this week, and where can people get it?
Well, this is all the research I'm doing about this is for the feature I'm doing this upcoming week. So we're recording later this week, and I'm going to be going really deep into this whole thylacine thing and what the company's doing and all the science behind it. And we're going to talk a lot about the ethics of it, whether we should be doing it or not.
Yeah. So. Once again, to not quite quote Jurassic Park, whether we should be doing it or not.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Right. Well,
yeah.
The nature of things discovers a way for these things to happen.
Yeah. Just reword it. Just use different words. I like it a lot. Just
pull out the thesaurus and
that's
and
right.
See.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but and we did fly. Just do an episode on also genetic stuff, which is DNA origami, which was really fun to talk about.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
So that episode is already on the feed. You should listen to that. Maura talks all about, teaches me about something I'd never heard of before, which is folding DNA into different shapes to make things out of DNA. It's mind-blowing.
That is
really
wild.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Mine's all bent out of shape. Bobby Frankenberger, it's always good to talk to you. And he won't be here next Wednesday or Tuesday because there ain't no shows next week. Scott's out of town. And okay. Brian is for part of it as well. It's vacation week.
Way to end our segment on an up.
It's on an up note, everybody. We'll see you later. Bye
That's
now.
Right.
I mean, look, I can't not ever go away, people. We have to have these times where we go away.
We've got to take a vacation. We just have to.
We have to. It's my anniversary. My wife wouldn't let me not do it. So
you're right. I just wish I could have timed my thing better. Darn it, Disney.
Damn you, Disney, and your bullshit. Okay, let's
roll the dice on Bill.
Yeah, we'll roll the dice. Here we go. This is a D20. Hold on, why isn't it coming up? Oh, because he's punished props, not Bill. All right, so I'm adding him. We've already heard his theme. Let's see how this goes. Oh, it's a very exciting moment here. Bill, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Totally, yes! Can hear you now. Yay! Yes, sir, we can. Everything all right? Y'all good now?
The problem was solved with an incredibly cheap pair of earbuds.
Some kind of headphone-y deal.
Yes. My $350 Sony wireless headphones were not pulling their weight. I don't know what the deal was.
Oh, weird. But all right. Well, back to basics.
You obviously need to buy more expensive ones.
I do. That would fix it.
Would solve everything. All right. Well, hey, it's the maker himself. We'd like to think of him as our maker, but really he's his own man. Does all kinds of rad stuff over at punishprops.com. Everybody's maker. And he's America's maker, really. And he's here today to talk about whatever the hell he's been making. Hey, Bill, what are you making?
We have a new video out. We made a really cool thing. I just wanted to point out, I'm speaking to you from the extreme West Coast. I am on a balcony overlooking the Pacific Ocean, and there is a bald eagle perched on a tree near me.
Jeez.
Oh, wow.
What the frick? Yeah. I guess, speaking of vacation.
Can we get some patriotic music in the background?
That's right. Yeah. I just wanted to point that out before I told you what we made.
Fancy.
Because... yeah. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, very nice. Well, I'm glad you could get a little time away. That sounds like fun.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, and yet here you are with us. This is fantastic. We feel blessed to have you here. Anyway, sorry. Tell us about your new video.
So we had our friend in the video, our friend Paige. She used to work for us. And since then, she's gone on to start her own thing doing leatherworking. Hats and pouches and corsets, all made out of leather. She has a YouTube channel, and she does tutorials and she gives out patterns, and she has an Etsy store where she sells leather crafting products. So we figured we'd have her in the shop and we could both make the same exact project, except she made hers out of leather and I made mine out of foam. So she designed this pouch. She showed how to make the pouch out of leather, and I did it out of foam, because the two materials actually compare pretty well. They actually work very similarly, yeah.
That's interesting. Did you have like a battle royale where one of you won at the end? Like, which is better by the end? I'm guessing the leather.
Or even have somebody look at them without touching them and try and determine which one. It's like the, is it cake? Is it leather? Is it foam?
Actually, an Is It Foam series sounds pretty awesome.
Oh, nice.
Me.
Oh, that's
actually
a great idea, Brian.
Cool.
You should get residuals if this takes off.
There you go. Yeah. Actually, what we should do is I should make a cake out of foam. And then when someone tries to cut into it, they'll be surprised that it's not cake.
Oh, it's not cake after all. Who would have known? That's awesome. Love that idea.
So the video was really fun. We're pals with Paige. She used to work for us, and we had a lot of fun filming it. But I really enjoyed being able to compare the two and contrast them. The foam is actually, since it's dramatically cheaper than leather, people will use EVA foam to do a mock-up of their leather thing before committing to cutting up a hide of leather, which can be quite expensive. The other cool thing is that many of the same tools transfer over. So like cutting tools or marking tools or punching, like punching holes in leather, all those tools can be used for both of them, which is quite handy. So if you set up to make foam, you're like one step away from making stuff out of leather.
30% of the way to leather work.
Yeah, you're just one expensive credit card bill away from a big hunk of leather.
Yeah.
So Paige showed her how to do hers. Mostly it's cutting the leather out. And then with leather, you want to do all your coloring before it's all stitched up. So she did like leather dyeing and coloring ahead of time. And then she stitched hers together. Whereas mine, I cut it all apart. But I did the assembly first and I did it with glue, which was a lot faster.
I'll bet.
And then I did my painting afterwards. So with foam, in that case, it actually makes sense to do the color at the end.
In the case of the leather, what is... Now that I think about it, I don't even know how you color leather. Is it the same process? Are you just using paints or are you using leather treatment?
You can do it in a pigment or something.
Sure. You can... So I've used... actually used leather working paints on foam because they work really well. And those are just acrylic paints that dry and stay relatively flexible, which is important for if you want to color a pair of boots, you need them to stay flexible.
Yeah.
But there are also specific dyes for dyeing leather. So what Paige used on hers for this one were leather working dyes.
Oh my gosh. I just watched
you just use those acrylic paints.
I just watched you use a tiny anvil and I want one now. Look at that little guy.
Oh, the really little. So that's Paige's as well, and I also really want a tiny anvil. I think they're like $12 at Harbor Freight. Like I could go get one right now.
Really? Okay.
Look at these two. I couldn't tell the difference. I mean, they're slightly different colors at the end. You know, different. Mm-hmm. What's the word I'm looking for? Actually, as you hold them in the red back.
Saturation.
Saturation, I guess. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I'd have a hard time telling the difference. They look almost identical. Which I guess is the point.
Yeah, I'm really stoked with especially how mine turned out, because I was trying to copy hers. And they turned out great.
Yeah, that would look real good on a cosplay. You're like, I don't know, you're the Witcher and you got a big old bag of shit on the side of you or whatever, you know?
And it's useful. You keep your phone in there. You can keep your Gwent deck in there.
Yeah, your weed.
All keep sorts
your,
of stuff.
Keep your weed.
Your hobbit. What do they call it?
Pipe? Oh, your leaf, fun leaf, or whatever. What do they call it?
Bottom leaf.
Yeah. Happy fun time leaf, something like that. Really cool. That's so cool. Up and available now on I assume both your channels. You probably cross posted this, right? Punish Props Academy.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Punishprops.com. Yep. Always a good place to go for that sort of thing.
Make sure you do. And give me her. Is it Redbird Makes? No. What's her?
Redbird Makes is her channel.
Yep.
And I'm going to recommend a video of hers.
Oh, very nice. Look at this little secondary video of hers. Tell us what you got there.
So she made this acorn bag. It's really like if you have a D&D character, like a druid.
Yeah.
How cool would it be to have this very naturey looking acorn bag?
I would love that.
So she has a full tutorial and pattern on how to make the whole thing.
Wow, that's awesome.
Check that out over at Redbird Makes on YouTube.
Nice. I thought of you yesterday. Let me tell you how. I watched the premiere episode of House of the Dragon. Okay, this the prequel to Game of Thrones. By the way, very strong start. Really enjoyed it. It's awesome. Okay, who knows how they'll stick their landing, but...
Right, yeah, sure.
The initial
how they'll
episode,
stick their king's landing.
Yeah, it's very, very good. Anyway, really enjoyed it. But the reason I thought of you is I was like, all right, I'm going to just kind of check this show out for any things that pop out to me and go, ooh, cool prop to make, or ooh, that'll be a nice replica or whatever.
Sure.
I thought, well, I know they made some changes to the throne, the actual Iron Throne. And so I thought, oh, I wonder what this will look like and if it's something Bill could do. The Iron Throne is now the Iron Throne, but then surrounded for like 4 yards on each side, more swords sticking up out of everything.
Multi-sword walkway.
Yeah. So you're not going to be making that throne is what I'm saying. I don't think you're going to do it. It's a lot of work, man. Unless you want to make a little one.
I'll preemptively decide not to do that.
Yeah, it seems like too much work. So anyway, we'll see what episode two brings. But
they look like failed 3D prints when somebody's trying to make the Iron Throne.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Bill, have fun there at the Oceanside Paradise that you're at.
No kidding.
Yeah, I will, yeah.
We're jealous.
My nephew Simon here just showed up to say hi.
Oh, well, there you go. Have fun, be safe, and may all your foam look like leather. Bye now. There goes Bill. Brian, there goes the show. That's the show.
That's it? There it goes?
Yeah. That's as weird as it feels, because usually Bill means Bobby's coming up, but we already did Bobby, so it feels weird to me, but we're at the end, okay? That's the deal. We're at the end. And that means, here's the deal. We got two more mainline episodes this week, and then we do have a couch party on Friday. No, wait, you're gone. No.
No, I'm here.
Why do I keep moving you up? I keep moving you up.
Do you have calendar, Scott?
I do, and it's right here. Oh. And I've got it. I actually literally have it written when you're gone, but my head will not accept it. Anyway, so we're doing a couch party. we got film sacks galore. In fact, we're not even missing film sacks because we've done a little pre-prep on those. Yeah. So how TMS is going to go next week, I'm still working on a couple of things, but I'm hoping to have just a couple little ancillary things up on the feed that just show
like,
up.
Like a little TMS video from your location?
It's just so people know what's up, get a little content, whatever. I don't like leaving, as everyone knows, for extended periods of time, but this is happening, okay? It's my 30th year anniversary, guys. Brian has one of those this year as well, or already had one.
I did. Already did. You know, you and I both already have them.
Well, mine's August.
I thought yours was June or July. Oh, it's August? Okay.
It's August 20. Shit.
Wow. I thought you got married before me, too. So you were just born before me, but you got married after me.
Yeah. Well, that was the goal.
Same years. Both things in the same years.
When I was born, I did two things. I pooped, I screamed and cried, and then I said, I will beat Brian to the punch on the birth, but he will be before me on the wedding, I'll say.
You go. Perfect. Yeah,
back in 1969. Anyway, that's the deal. So get used to it. All right. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. That will lead you directly to patreon.com/TMS. That is the place to go if you would like to support your favorite morning show and help us continue to thrive and survive. Again, patreon.com/TMS. If you want to send us emails, themorningstream@gmail.com. That's themorningstream@gmail.com. All right, Brian, I need music. Can you play some
music? Well, Dan Anderson wrote in and he said, for my wife, Laurel's birthday, it's an ongoing joke between the two of us, and I missed last year. Could you play a cover of the Pina Colada song, the Pina Colada song? Mm. By the way, I tweeted out a joke today saying that it's funny that Escape, the Pina Colada song, is both the name of the song and what you want to do when you start to hear the Pina Colada song.
Yep. Don't do it on that. Where's that part of Vegas on the Strip where you come right up next to his the restaurant that plays that on repeat? No, what? It's not that. Never mind. No,
you're thinking Jimmy Buffett. You're thinking Jimmy Margarita. Buffett.
Never mind. Yeah, same problem though. I can't stand
another song that can just go away.
Yes.
Sorry, parrot heads. I wonder what the Venn diagram of Tadpool and parrot heads are. I bet it's very slim. Anyway, any style is cool, but she's also a fan of Scott Bradley's Postmodern Jukebox. In case they do a version. Cheers, guys. Dan. P.S. Is it too early to get a fish sandwich?
Nope. Never too early. I have to just find it. Where is it?
I can definitely see why you love it.
Stop. Okay.
Hey, it's too early to get a fish sandwich.
Or.
Hey, is it too early to get a fish sandwich?
Oh, that's a good one. So good. Anyway.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. All right. So, you know, it's a dumb song. Let's just face it. The Pina Colada song is a dumb song. It's about, you're supposed to root for a guy who's planning on cheating on his wife through a newspaper ad. By the way, kids, look up a newspaper ad, a classifieds and before Craigslist. And then while you're at it, look up Craigslist. it's a dumb song. However, I think I might've found my favorite version of the song in a search this morning. I have a couple. Eaton Mirsky, which I've played his version on the show before, does a really cool bar blues version, great version of the song. But this one has kind of a electronic sound to it. It's got great female vocals and she doesn't change any of the lyrics, keeps it as a she and her. And I applaud her, you know, not trying to mainstream it to be cis or anything.
Be courteous. And obey.
Sorry. That was exactly a misclick for me. I apologize.
Anyway, Lauren Gold is the artist here. This is a cover of Escape, the Pina Colada song by Rupert Holmes, performed here by Lauren Gold.
Been together too long. Like like a worn-out recording of a favorite song. So while she lay there sleeping, I read the paper in bed. And in the personal's column, there was this letter I read. If you like piña coladas, getting caught in the rain. If you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain, if you like making love at midnight in the dunes on the cave, love that you look for, write to me and escape. I didn't think about my lady. I know that sounds kind of mean, but me and my old lady have fallen into the same old dull routine. So I wrote to the paper, coladas, getting caught in the rain. I'm not much into health food, I am into champagne. I've gotta meet you by tomorrow noon, cut through all this red tape at a bar called O'Malley's, where we'll plan our escape. I'm not much. much into health food. I am into champagne. I've got a meal by tomorrow noon. And cut through all this red tape at a bar called O'Malley's, where we'll plan our escape.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
How about a little smile?
Yeah, how about a little smile?